Good morning, all. I must admit it's a relief to get the masks off. I know they're meant to help us and each other, and we need to wear them, but they sometimes I'm relieved to get them off. Other items of clothing, which some ladies will be familiar with. Most ladies. Right, we will welcome you all to this meeting this morning. Welcome to those who are on Zoom. And just pray that you have a lovely day today. And we just start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you that we are able to meet together, either in the church or online, Lord. We praise you for the technology that means we are united wherever we are in the country. Lord, we praise you that you give us these things. We thank you that you are there for us. Lord, we pray for a blessing, especially this morning, on Peter and for Margaret, Lord, as they enter into membership into this church. We praise and thank you, Lord, for these new members, and pray they will be working hard for you, as I know they will, and that you'll glorify them and give them peace and strength to fulfill your work. And we ask all this in your holy name, Jesus. Family news. I mean, our family news, and if there's any prayer requests, we'll have them at the same time. But from next week, Helen has got some leaflets, sheets of paper, that you can put your prayer requests on. And we would ask that you would do that beforehand, because it does save some time. Ask Helen, she will give them to you. You can take them away, put the names on them, and just give them in. As she says, if she's standing at the front rave and that, and she'll come and collect them. Okay? So, any other family news? And I will be coming around with a microphone myself, and I will hold it in front of you, because save cross contaminations.
She's got a microphone.
If you come to the side door, you will notice we now have a ring doorbell. If anyone comes, and if you come expecting to see me and I'm not here, if you ring the doorbell, it will come through to my phone. And I can tell you, I'll be 5 minutes.
Show off.
Yeah.
Today is the last day for deacon nominations. Final day.
Any prayer requests? Okay. Well, that was an easy one. Anybody's birthdays today or this week or last week? Anniversaries? Oh, well, very quiet week this week. Right. We'll start with a Bible reading. It's Ephesians 2:19-22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. When Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, and later, 3 days later, was resurrected, he brought with it a new way of salvation. All the people being equal, no one any better than the rest, no race or type of person. No one is more important than the next. We are all equal in the eyes of God. And as equals, we must work together to build his church. We must do this with Christ as our cornerstone, holding us all together. We can do this by working together, being tolerant of each other, forgiving those who have upset us or hurt us, praying together, so that the church we build will be built by God and it will be built by God's people of power. So there's no hint as to what the next hymn's going to be at all, is there? It's for "I'm Building a People of Power." Heavenly Father, we just pray for these people that are up here now. Lord, we pray for these every week, and we know that you hold them in your prayers. And we just pray for a special blessing upon each and every one of them today. And Lord, we also give a minute of prayer for anybody quiet now that you want to lift before God. We do that now. Heavenly Lord, I just lift all the people that have been mentioned in the quiet time to you, Lord. You know them, Lord. You know what they need. Just meet their need in the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask this. Amen. Next one up, please, Kim. Lord, we pray for the countries of the world, particularly where there is war, hunger and greed, and where children are starving. Heavenly Father, we don't know why people get so greedy that they always want more in land, power, and where they just disregard the light of other people, Lord. We just pray for peace in this world, your peace to descend upon this world. It can only come through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so we really earnestly pray for this. We pray for our government, Lord, that seems to be going through a lot of problems at the moment. That we just pray that they will have Christian ethics and will rule in the lives of those who govern us. And your Holy Spirit will guide them. Lord, let them listen to you. So that the decisions they make will be the ones you want them to make, Lord. Help us to defeat this COVID virus, Lord, it seems to be going on, and Lord, we just lift it all to you. You know it's here, you know what's happening. Lord, it's in your hands, and we pray for your Holy Spirit to descend now upon this country and upon this land. Help people to repent of their sins, that you, Lord, can really rule in our lives and in this world and in this country. In his town and his church, everywhere, Lord, may you be supreme. We ask this in your wonderful name, Jesus. We just praise you that you are Lord of all. We praise you that you are in control of all things. We know, Lord, that you are there always, in every way. Help us to always remember that, Lord. Help us to feel your love and protection around us, even when things don't appear to be going right, Lord. Just keep us safe in your love, Heavenly Father, we ask. Amen. And now we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Can I just ask for prayer for President Mugabe's family, who in isolation are sitting on billions of pounds of the people of Zimbabwe's money and are refusing to return it. And let's just pray that the Lord will speak into their hearts, that they return the money to Zimbabwe. The people there so desperately need it. Right. Can I just say that again for the benefit of those? On my heart is the family of President Mugabe, who died last year, who are sitting on billions of pounds in far-off countries and refusing to return it. Now, the people of Zimbabwe really need that money. They really are in poverty. And I just ask everybody here and on Zoom and wherever that we'll pray that the Lord will speak into their hearts, the Holy Spirit of the Lord will speak into their hearts, that they return this money, the people of Zimbabwe can stop the suffering and hunger which is there. And just pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now we can sing our second hymn, which is We Believe, because this is a statement of what we believe in. And we do believe in Christ, and we do believe that he is the all-powerful, almighty God, is the only God. And, well, it's just proclamation of our belief. We believe. sorry, when I picked that up, I forgot it went up so high. Very hard. Anyway, Veronica is going to read us our Bible reading this morning.
It's Psalm 15:1-5. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, the one whose way of life is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Amen.
Thank you, Veronica. Now, I'm going to call Helen up because she's going to welcome her new members, Margaret and Peter. You all know them anyway, so here's Helen.
What I'm going to do is bring this down so we can... I've got some questions to ask them. So if Margaret and Peter can come up, that would be good. And you can stand kind of somewhere around this microphone. We all have to take our masks off because we need to be able to hear what we're saying. So. Yeah. We all get a break. We all... In the name of our loving God, it's our joy to welcome Peter and Margaret into the membership of this church. They're committed to serving God in this community. Not just yet, Ben. They're committed to serving God in this community, and today we acknowledge and thank God for that commitment. They've been disciples of Jesus Christ for some years. Peter's been with us, as we know, and Margaret's transferring from Wonford Baptist Church with its blessing. So Peter, if I can do you first, if you can step a little bit closer to the mic. Thank you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life and witness of this local congregation?
I do, and I thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
I will. All I have is given by God.
Margaret, do you believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, your creator and redeemer and the sustainer of all things?
I do. This is the God in whom I trust.
Do you believe that God has led you to share in the worship, life and witness of this local congregation?
I do. And I thank God for the gift of fellowship.
Will you share with us the gifts God has given you, that together we may serve God in our local community and in the wider world?
I will, and all I have is given by God.
As Baptist Christians, we covenant together as a community of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Baptized into his name, we share the joys and responsibilities of fellowship. We gather for worship and to discern the mind of Christ. Together we seek the kingdom of God through prayer, witness and service. And in the power of the Holy Spirit we seek to build one another up in love. Peter, will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known?
I will. Thanks be to God.
Margaret, will you share with us in this common life and service? And will you walk together with us before God in ways that are known and yet to be made known.
I will. Thanks be to God.
Would the church members please stand? And can we have the PowerPoint slide up now? I have some questions for you. Now, you probably won't be able to read the small writing. That's just kind of, that's my bit anyway. The bit in bold is your bit. So hopefully you can read that. Do you welcome Peter and Margaret into the fellowship of this worshipping community?
We do. This is our joy and our calling.
God has given us the gift of Peter and Margaret, and through them has given us gifts for ministry in the life and witness of this congregation. Will you support them in Christian service and in the responsibilities of church membership?
We will. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray for Peter and Margaret and encourage them through hospitality, friendship and prayer?
We will, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. You can sit down. Well, I'm just going to go and be COVID safe and grab some hand sanitizer before I shake your hands. Peter to this church many years ago and for his commitment to membership. We believe you've guided Margaret here and we rejoice in the covenant promises we've made together. We pray that they may grow in grace, strengthen their faith and ours, and build up this community of your people, that together we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit upon both Peter and Margaret. Strengthen them for service and make them more like Jesus. Through your grace, empower us that our life together might glorify you and witness to a needy world through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And I will give you a membership certificate.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome to Laneham Baptist Church.
Thank you for that. It's lovely actually welcoming new members into our church. So welcome, Peter. I know we've known you forever. And welcome, Margaret. And we're getting to know you. I was going to say, it feels we know you forever, but yeah. Okay, we're going to sing another hymn now. And it's another truth, that Jesus stands amongst us. And he really does stand amongst us. Even when we don't feel it, we don't know it. He's there.
Satan, we will. Margaret, bring the cup round, but we'll
retain them, and then we can all drink together. And we look forward to your coming again in glory. Amen. Ram, would you like to help with the table, Peter? And I'll hand back to Rose.
Children normally go out, are they coming or are they just staying?
No, so they're not.
They can't make up their mind. Okay. Yes, no, whatever. If you want to go out, you can go out. While we sing, Bind Us Together.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together.
physically. Oops. Okay, I'm going to actually hand back over to Rini again. It's a bit up and down today, both of us. And Rini will actually finish off now. Thank you.
See it better from here without the glasses. It's one less thing to fiddle with. This week we're continuing with looking at the studies of the books of the Bible, and we've reached Psalms. It's too big to compress into one week, so we're making a start. Is it coming through all right?
Yeah.
Right. Now, just a little bit of background. The Hebrew title means praises, and many of the Psalms are just that, although there are also a lot of prayers, and of course everything's written in poetry. And the Psalms have been collected together into one big book now, but they cover hundreds of years. Some go back to the time of David, some are after the exile, when the Israelites came back and rebuilt the temple. And so the Book of Psalms is often called the hymn book of the Second Temple. And that's the temple that Jesus knew, and also it was used in the synagogues that Jesus knew. And of course there have been all sorts of string instruments, harps and lyres and all the rest of it to accompany the Psalms. Now, we often think of the Psalms in connection with David. And about half of them very clearly involve him. He writes of every aspect of his life and his beliefs. He doesn't spare himself when he knows he's guilty, and he doesn't hold back his praises of God. And so people have been able to find comfort and encouragement in them, and been able to identify with him in his tribulations and in his triumphs. And the Psalms are particularly good at describing how he deals with his troubles. Now, Psalm 15 that we read, that paints a very serene picture of when everything's going well. God's in his heaven, or in his sanctuary, or in his temple, and everything's well with the psalmist's world. People are welcome guests in God's house, as long as they behave in a manner acceptable to him, and according to his laws. They're not expected to be perfect, but the psalm clearly points out how they should behave. And if they do these things, they'll prosper and they'll not be shaken by external forces. And of course, you're itching to say, well, we live in New Testament times. We know that we're saved by God's grace and not by anything that we can do. True. But we also need to remember that Christians need to live in a manner pleasing to God. Not because that will bring us to salvation, but as a consequence of being saved. If you want the New Testament version of Psalm 15, going into great detail as to how we should lead our lives, I would suggest we look at James. He has a lot to say on the subject. And you could also say to me, well, the Israelites in David's day may have tried to live according to Psalm 15, and we today may try to live according to James, but neither then nor now does it guarantee that all will go well. You'd be right. And David knew that as well. But let's move on to Psalm 18. Could we have that section of Psalm 18 up on the screen? Yeah, it's one of those psalms which has a heading. And it reads, David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And as we remember, David spent long periods of time in danger. King Saul was jealous of him and afraid of him because he saw the people loved David more than him and that God looked more favourably on him. David had to flee for his life and find refuge anywhere he could, in inaccessible deserts and mountain strongholds, and even in the territory of the old enemy, the Philistines. Even after Saul was dead, as a result of the battle with the Philistines, David was still not safe. He became king, but for years he was threatened by enemies in all the surrounding nations. Finally, he managed to defeat them, and now we come to Psalm 18. It's very different from Psalm 15. It's not restrained. It's not serene. It's more like a Pentecostal glory meeting, as David throws himself into singing God's praises as vividly as he can. Before we get to this bit, he's described his own plight as desperate. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, but God came to his rescue. And these verses, they're an example of how he used every superlative he could think of to glorify God. Whatever was loudest, most powerful, most frightening in his world was used to demonstrate the way God had acted on his behalf. Nothing and no one could stand before the Lord. It all makes a magnificent poetry. Imagine David singing it to the Lord with his whole heart. Imagine a vast crowd of Israelites using David's words to praise and exalt and celebrate their God. Or all the musicians, not forget the musicians, led them with tremendous enthusiasm on all kinds of instruments. Now this is how to praise the Lord, who's done amazing things. But how did David, or we, get from Psalm 15 to Psalm 18? In the first, all is well. In the second, all is more than well, temporarily at least. But what happened in between the two? Can we have the other psalm up, please? Psalm 13. Because that gives us the answer. David's in the middle of his troubles and he's in despair. He feels that God has deserted him just when he was most needed. And as we start to read the psalm, at first we find no trace at all of trusting or delighting in God. Everything seems black and hopeless. The psalmist knows there was a time when the Lord was with him, but that seems to be far behind him now. God's forgotten him and left him to the mercies of his enemies. He's weary, he's dispirited, he doesn't know how much longer he can hang on. And yet God seems indifferent to his cries for help. Maybe when his troubles started, he was very confident that the Lord would quickly come to his aid. But as Proverbs says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. We've maybe been in similar situations. When our world crashed around us, we felt the Lord wouldn't fail to help and to sustain us. And this confidence supported us through the initial difficulties. We were aware of his love and support. And we felt confident he'd bring us through our troubles. Maybe collectively, we look back to something like the beginning of the COVID outbreak. We found unexpected kindness from people and then encouragement from the Lord as we learned to do things differently. And after all, we felt it wouldn't go on forever. And yet now, like the psalmist, we find ourselves crying, how long, O Lord, how long? Praising him and relying on him has become a little more difficult. And David knew that feeling only too well. And yet we find in the last two verses of the psalm, he returns to trusting in God and praising him. Of course, it was the customary way to end this kind of psalm, which is known as a lament. Maybe David found it more natural to say it than to feel it. If so, we can well understand him. Maybe we feel that way ourselves. We're very aware of that but, or nevertheless, at the beginning of verse 5. Instead of the spontaneous outbreak of praise we had in Psalm 18, we have to reluctantly, maybe even grudgingly, metaphorically take ourselves by the scruff of the neck and remind ourselves that our God is unfailing in love and salvation, and that our job is to remain faithful to him. It's difficult, but it needs to be done. We need to commit ourselves to it. And we can express our commitment in the words of a song that's been taken directly from Psalm 18. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. He's my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Could we sing that now, please, Mike? The final hymn. In Jesus' name, amen.